bathroom.
We're all being watched. On streets. In subways. Even in our own homes. Invisible eyes are searching for criminals and terrorists. New technologies can track them before they strike. Intricate surveillance networks. Advanced facial recognition.
Let's see if he matches anyone in my database.
Even tracking devices implanted inside the body. Technologies that can make the invisible visible. And electronic trails that reveal who we are and where we've been. Go behind the security doors and discover the secret, often disturbing world of surveillance. London, July 7th, 2005. Morning rush hour in the most heavily surveyed city in the world. Over 500,000 cameras keep watch over Britain's capital. Mechanical eyes loom from every corner. The average Londoner is filmed by more than 300 cameras during the course of their day. A ring of cameras surrounds the center of London. Within seconds, every plate number is fed into a computer that tracks the comings and goings of each vehicle. It seems like the perfect defense. On this Wednesday morning, 3 million commuters pack London's cabs, buses, and trains. Closed-circuit television operators keep an eye open for any suspicious behavior. But what they don't know is that four men have already set out to commit one of the worst acts of terror in British history. They park their car outside the city, avoiding the ring of traffic cameras, and take the train to the center. Men are caught on camera, but to the authorities, they look like ordinary commuters. No one knows who they are until it's too late. Wearing backpacks full of explosives, they board three trains and a bus. Suicide explosions rip out on three subway trains within a minute of each other. Less than an hour later, the top floor of a bus explodes. 52 people die. 700 are seriously injured. Scotland Yard launches their biggest investigation in history.
This will take many months of intensive, detailed investigation.
They scour countless hours of closed-circuit video, searching for glimpses of their suspects. So how did the most elaborate surveillance system of any city in the world fail so completely to prevent the attack? The answer lies hidden in a grungy warehouse in central London, the Westminster Command Center. This is just one small piece of a massive video surveillance system stretching across the city.
The current figure is roughly 4 million surveillance cameras throughout the UK.
If you're in London, Westminster's director, Robert McAllister, can follow nearly every move you make.
When you come out of your house in the morning and you get on some form of transport, there's probably a CCTV camera. If you walk down a pedestrian street, if you go into a store, anywhere that you are within the City of London, you're probably at some stage going to be captured on CCTV. Now, I'm not particularly interested in seeing somebody having a cappuccino in their kitchen in the morning, but if your child is abducted, or you're a victim of crime, or somebody burgles your house, you would probably love CCTV. If you're a criminal, then it's going to be the flip side of that coin.
CCTV has already proven its value as a way to combat crime.
It's this group of four individuals here that we're interested in.
August 2004. A group of men attaches an electronic device to a bank machine. They steal card and PIN numbers, and then remove cash again and again from other people's accounts. McAllister's team uses CCTV cameras to bust them. They follow the suspects from camera to camera and carefully guide the police to the correct car so they can block their escape.
As the vehicle pulls out, we get a nice shot of the registration plate. You'll see the police vehicle has now stopped that line of traffic. What we've got here now is a successful intervention, possibly leading to an arrest.
This is what most of us think of as the power of total surveillance. The all-seeing thousand eyes of Big Brother. Yet it's not enough to catch a bomber intent on destruction. There are two critical limits to closed-circuit surveillance. You have to know who you're looking for, and you have to have a human watching every screen, every minute of every day.
We were looking for four individuals. Tiny clues amongst thousands of hours worth of footage.
These cameras captured the bombers 9 days before the attack.
You've got the guys at Luton Station together. You've then got them congregating at King's Cross Tube Station, all coming together, all going off on their separate ways. It confirms that they actually all were part of the same unit, which is key to the investigation.
The challenge for future surveillance: finding people before they commit crimes. A task no simple camera can achieve. A more sophisticated system is already in place. Not to catch terrorists, but to nab card sharks. Every year, more than 35 million visitors flock to this oasis in the desert. Many know that Las Vegas casinos use surveillance cameras, but few realize the extent to which they're being watched. Gaming here is serious business. Gamblers spend more than $6 billion every year, and cheaters can make off with millions. That's why casinos use some of the most high-tech surveillance systems in the world to monitor their clients. Nearly every turn of a card, pull of a handle, or roll of a die is recorded by invisible eyes.
5, 7.
When visitors step inside the giant Aladdin casino to gamble, they enter a wild world.
Surveillance.
Controlling all this is a man who stays in the shadows.
We can see, but we can't be seen. Kind of undercover, eye in the sky, so to speak.
Bill Page is director of surveillance and does everything he can to keep his unit out of sight, hidden beneath the glitz and glamour.
The average Joe coming in the casino does not look up. They would probably be amazed and say, whoa, look at all those black dots up in the ceiling. I wonder what they're for. They're actually camera domes throughout the whole property.
The cameras may look simple, but from 40-foot ceilings, they can read the dial on a wristwatch or the serial number on a dollar bill. Here's a tape of a man playing roulette. But look again.
No more bets?
He tries to place a late bet.
There's the bet.
The tape shows the man placing chips after the dealer has called off all bets.
There's the wave off. And he's pushing chips towards you to confuse her. No more bets. And there's the bet. It's really pretty blatant, actually.
But he finds a subtler scam in this game of blackjack. The man is bending cards to mark them and gain an unfair advantage over the house.
This individual is bending the high cards out. Right there.
Bending cards is a cardinal sin on the floor.
Right there.
Casinos call it cheating and eject anyone caught doing it.
Right there. It's considered altering the outcome of the game. And the casino does not like those individuals on the property.
In this game of dice, everything looks normal until a careful review of the tape.
This is the subject, and then we have the victim here. Keep an eye on the subject's hands. We saw a female reach in underneath an individual's hand as the individual looked away and actually took those chips. Done. That's him.
Today, Bill is tracking a blackjack player who's been winning again and again.
Stay with him. Oh, he did a double back.
Yeah.
Oh, he's one of them shifty guys.
The surveillance team suspects he may be what they call an undesirable.
Okay.
Undesirables aren't technically cheating, but because they're trying to beat the system, casinos ban them once they're identified. If this man is an undesirable, he may have been caught on tape before. Paige needs a technological shortcut to find out. So he turns to facial recognition software.
We take time-lapse snapshots of his face on a monitor, feed that information into the software program.
He needs to find just the right angle and lighting if the photograph is going to work. There are 80 primary measuring points on the human face. Computer describes the face by plotting these points and measuring the variance between the features. Taken together, these points create a unique numerical code called a face print. The computer compares the suspect's face print to a database of undesirables from casinos around the world. But the final decision relies on a human being.
That's him. That's the guy. Good match.
This time, the suspect is an actor testing the system. But facial recognition helps Paige's team investigate real undesirables 1 to 2 times a week.
When we catch somebody doing something illegal or out of the ordinary, it's a big deal in the room because we've caught something that's going to protect the property. We take that very seriously. Good. Thank you.
Facial recognition systems like this still rely on high-quality images and human decision-making. But in the case of the London bombing, even if the bomber's photos had been in a database, investigators most likely would not have made a match. The images were too blurry or shot from strange angles. But scientists are developing a new surveillance system that could take facial recognition into another dimension. 3D imagery tied to satellite tracking. It's technology that could help find anyone, anywhere on the planet. The challenge for future surveillance is not just to find a face in the crowd, but to identify one person anywhere on the globe. This lab is working on the next critical leap in technology. A giant dome uses 3D facial recognition to help identify people from virtually any angle.
Police believe the CCTV pictures show them planning their attack.
To find suspects in the London bombing, investigators had to screen tens of thousands of videotapes. They limited the search by time and place, and eventually found poor quality images of the suspects.
Any observer would hardly give them a second glance.
But facial recognition experts like Hans-Peter Pfister know that a more advanced system could help in the future.
Just look at the camera. It'll take some pictures of your face and then store them.
Pfister knows the limits of the standard 2D facial recognition systems. While it can see through basic disguises, it can't identify people from the side. He puts it to the test. Eyeglasses don't throw off the recognition system. And it still works with a mustache, strange hair.
So yeah, this is good.
And even a beard. But if he simply turns his head, the computer doesn't recognize him because it can no longer measure the distance between his features. Pfister hopes that his 3D dome will teach the computer what a face looks like from all angles.
That's good.
He must put his subject into precisely the correct spot to make the image accurate. Together, the cameras create a composite image. More than 64,000 individual points make up a full face. This completed 3D image is called an avatar. Pfister can rotate or repose it to a frontal view to compare it to a database of faces. The hope is that someday all criminals will be ID'd from any angle.
No, I think this is a very good scan.
The 3D system holds great promise for future investigations, like the London bombing, where security cameras caught images from the side. This new technology might be paired with smart cameras, which could actually find faces and run them through a match system. The challenge for surveillance technology is to find individuals anywhere before they cause harm. And another lab offers a glimpse of a system that does just that.
Fly to Boston.
At a laboratory in Massachusetts, scientists are on a manhunt for a criminal. An FBI wanted poster arrives from headquarters. The wanted man's name is Thomas O'Connor.
Thomas, that's our guy.
O'Connor has committed bank fraud, embezzling hundreds of millions of dollars from banks around the world. They enter O'Connor's face into the recognition database. Using facial recognition software tied to millions of webcams placed on streets and buildings around the world, a global hunt begins.
Fly to Tokyo.
In each city, government-run web cameras scan the streets, looking for a match.
London. Toronto.
They get a tip that O'Connor just entered the United States through New York.
Look at the buildings.
Yeah, of course.
Every building in the city appears in three dimensions, allowing a bird's eye view.
Let's check out the banks.
Lair, banks.
They ask the computer to show the location of every bank in New York.
I think we need to focus on one area, head of Broadway.
Let's check out this stream video. Okay.
They scour Times Square, but there's no sign of O'Connor. They head to the financial district.
Take this area.
Okay, that's actually quite a big area here.
A lot of activity in this area.
So it'd be good to check if there's any webcam around this area.
Thousands of webcams scan for a glimpse of O'Connor. And then, pay dirt.
Yeah, word.
A sensor goes off. A camera spots O'Connor in the hallway of a bank building. He walked this hallway only seconds before. they have found his face amid a sea of millions of other faces.
The report says that he's around this area.
From the command room, they dispatch patrol units to the scene and make the arrest.
That's perfect.
This control room is fictional. But all these technologies already exist. They just haven't been brought together yet. When they are, it will be nearly impossible for an undisguised face to go undetected. While facial recognition technology is advancing, the future of surveillance isn't just identifying what you look like on the outside. It's already moving inside your body. Spying not just on you, but in you. And it's tightening security on the most sensitive borders in the world. Airports, the crossroads for billions of people. And one of our most vulnerable points of attack. Surveillance technology is critical, and when it comes to controlling borders, the eyes are everything. Iris recognition is a mathematical system that uses the colored part of the eye to determine who you are. Traditional passports can be forged, but your identical twin, or even your own other eye, has its own unique, uncopyable pattern. The iris is the only internal organ easily visible from the outside, and it has a pattern that never changes, so it serves as an ideal living passport. Irises are normally more than 10 times more accurate than fingerprints, and much more reliable identifiers than faces. You could easily be tricked into thinking this is a picture of the U.S. Vice President next to the President. But actually, Dick Cheney's eyes, nose, and mouth have been copied from Bush's face onto his own. It's hard to tell one face from another. There just isn't that much difference between them.
There's not very much randomness in faces. If faces had as much randomness as irises, then different faces would have random numbers of noses, six noses and five mouths and three eyes in different random positions. Then face recognition would work pretty well.
Cambridge University professor John Dogman is the inventor of iris recognition. It's the high degree of randomness in the iris that makes Dogman's system so powerful. His mathematical formulas are already helping track people along sensitive borders. The UAE counts on the system to catch people trying to enter the country illegally.
So cool.
80% of those living in the UAE come from abroad. To control this flow of humanity, all foreign visa holders are tracked against an immigration blacklist, a database of 500,000 criminals and visa violators. The country scans about 7,000 people each day.
Thank you. Thanks.
First, a scanner shoots invisible infrared light into the eye to locate and isolate the iris. Then, it plots the random patterns of the iris and constructs a mathematical equation called an iris code. In a single second, it compares this code against the 500,000 other codes in the database and searches for a match. Today, Inspector Ibrahim has found a problem with a man who has just arrived from Iran. In less than a second, the computer makes a 500,000 comparisons and shows that the pattern of his eye matches an iris code in the database.
IRN.
They find a match.
He cannot come to UAE anymore. His ban is forever.
The man is on the blacklist because he tried once before to enter the country without a visa. This time, his own body has betrayed him.